Hello, and welcome to another episode of True Stories of Good People, a podcast brought to you by GoFundMe. I am your host, Kelsey Little. In each episode, we sit down with someone who's making a difference in other people's lives or has had their life changed by someone kind. May is Mental Health Awareness Month in the U.S., and our guest today has spent much of her young life dedicated to this cause. When Gabby Frost was a teenager, she noticed that many of her friends, both online and in real life, were dealing with serious issues like self-harm and suicidal thoughts. She offered them her support in the best way she could, but she wished there was an easier way for young people to get connected with each other and talk about their interests and also their struggles. Rather than wait around for this to someday exist, Gabby decided to create it herself. And Buddy Project was born. Hello from Philadelphia. I'm here today with someone I've admired for a very long time from afar, and I'm so excited to finally be meeting her in person, Miss Gabby Frost. Thank you so much for being on our podcast.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm so glad to finally meet you. It's really amazing to see a face after all the emails we've exchanged.
Yes. And also thank you for coming here on a school day and a day you also have a flight. I appreciate it. So you're currently in Philadelphia for college, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where do you go to school?
I go to Drexel University.
Nice.
In University City, or next to Penn.
Cool. What drew you to Drexel? What are you studying there?
I am studying music industry, and I really did not know what I wanted to go to college for at first because I was really drawn to broadcast journalism.
Mm.
I took two classes in high school, like a one and two class of video editing and broadcast journalism.
Cool.
I was really interested in that, but I felt like going into like entertainment broadcast journalism wasn't really that like practical.
Yeah.
And I felt like I wanted something like where, I don't know, just wanted to put different skills into use.
Yeah.
Other than like the ones I learned in that class, doing more, because at that point in time, it was when I was getting more and more into social media.
Yeah.
So I wanted to do something with that. My mom and I were starting to look. I actually used the College Board site.
You did?
To help me find majors. Yeah. I actually used it to find majors and saw that there was arts and entertainment management and tried to find schools that had that, and Drexel had that.
Nice.
So I decided to tour literally 1 or 2 weeks before my senior year started, and
wow.
And I fell in love with it.
Nice.
And decided that music industry was more suited to what I wanted to do, not
okay.
entertainment and arts management. So I ended up switching my major before I even came here, but
wow.
It wasn't a big shift
yeah.
some people's are. So I realized Drexel had the right fit for me. I am a very fast-paced person.
Mm-hmm.
The 10-week quarter system it just sounded really great to me.
Yeah.
I also liked being somewhat close to home. I live in the suburbs of Philly, so taking the trains 50-ish minutes or
nice.
Being driven down is not even 40 minutes depending on traffic.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
So it's nice to be able to go home and also be in a somewhat good part of the city, central to stuff. We have 30th Street Station, which is a 4-block walk from my apartment.
Oh, wow.
So I usually will just go on that to do Amtrak, and to go to the airport, I'll take the train there, and it's really easy. So I feel like I picked a very convenient spot, not
yeah.
just for my education, but for also my business related things as
Definitely.
Well.
So music business, that's pretty interesting to hear that's your major, because it's kind of different than what we're going to talk about today. But
mm-hmm.
is there a particular career path you have your heart set on with studying that?
Yeah, I really want to do stuff with social media and graphic design, anything to do with I guess when artists put themselves out there on social media, whether they need help with their graphics for Instagram
yeah.
or Twitter, or if they just need help with learning how to word tweets or just how to get the audience that they want.
Yeah.
I really want to help with that. Since I started Buddy Project as a 15-year-old, I have really learned the ins and outs of social media,
yeah.
especially Twitter. So I feel like I'm in this good spot where I've grown up with these platforms
yeah.
and I understand them better than people way older than me that
yeah.
kind of have a hard time learning how to use them right.
Yeah. So maybe you'd have, like, your own agency someday or something like that?
Yeah, I was actually, like, thinking of that recently, yeah. Especially because I have, like, nonprofit work, too, now. So I feel like trying to do something with social media and, like, graphics in general would be cool.
Yeah.
But I would love to go into music for that, though. Nice. Definitely.
I love that. That's so exciting. So the fact that you're just in college now is pretty remarkable given everything you've accomplished so far in your life. You're 21 now, is that right?
Yes, finally.
But finally, yes. but when you were just 14 years old, I think you had the inklings to create what is now a full-fledged nonprofit organization called Buddy Project. I'd love if you could take us back to that time and tell us how it came to be.
Yeah, so my journey as a mental health advocate really started when I was 14. My best friend at the time told me that she was self-harming and had suicidal ideation.
Wow.
So that really just opened me up to learning more. I wanted to be a supportive friend. At the same time, I was on Twitter. Both of us actually were. We were both obsessed with One Direction. And we just found people to relate with that we're from just like all parts of the country and even the world. Eventually we found out that a lot of them were going through similar problems and that a lot of teenage girls were coming onto social media either to find a community and or they were trying to find people that could understand their mental health. And wow. It was kind of an escape for them because they didn't have supportive friends or family. I had the idea for Buddy Project when I was 15, so it took about like a year of supporting people, yeah. And learning more as much as I could at that point in time.
Wow.
And one night I was just on Twitter scrolling through my timeline. I couldn't fall asleep. And I stumbled across three different people I was following that were all thinking of suicide.
Oh my gosh.
I immediately tweeted them support and asked other people to do the same. So as I was kind of thinking after tweeting them and everything, I wanted to do something. I didn't want to wait for someone else to do anything.
Yeah.
I wanted to take that like ambition within me and actually do something with it. So I tweeted out my whole idea. I still have the screenshot, but it's deleted, unfortunately. I have the whole basic idea where it's like, oh, I wish like Twitter would do some kind of buddy system, yeah. To help people like find friends or worded something like that.
Wow. So that's how the idea, like the kernel of the idea was born.
Yeah. And I like tweeted about it. And since I had school the next day, I was like, okay, like it's getting too late. I'm going to come back on tomorrow once I get back from school. So I came back and started it up. Within the first day, like 3,000 people signed up. And
oh my God. I had no idea.
That just really spoke to me, I guess. I knew that it wasn't going to be this like cute little side thing I do. It was actually something I wanted to put a bunch of time and effort into. So that really is what jump-started it.
Well, so that's 3,000 people on the first day. I think for anything new, that's kind of just like social proof, you know, like this should exist. But I would love to know, so you were seeing all this stuff when you're 14 and 15. That's a pretty heavy thing to see your friends going through at any age. But I imagine it was particularly difficult, maybe as someone who was also a teenager at the time. Do you remember if you went to talk to anyone about what you were seeing, or how did you, I guess it's maybe instinctual, but how did you know to like what to say to them or how to offer them the right kind of support?
Yeah, I mean, I guess from like watching movies and stuff, I kind of knew the right thing to say without really, when I didn't really know much about mental health.
Wow.
But I looked up articles and stuff about mental illnesses to try and understand it better, and just really used that and like my instincts to know what to say. At the time, I believed that if you told someone's parents about their mental health problems, if they weren't aware of it, that it was like betraying your friend's trust.
Oh, yeah.
And I wish that I wouldn't have thought that at the time, but my friend did not want me telling her parents, and luckily one of her other friends just went ahead and, like, told the guidance counselor. She went to a different middle school than me in our district, so we weren't seeing each other day to day. But yeah, one of her friends at her middle school told the guidance counselor, and I think the guidance counselor told her parents, and then she was able to get help.
Wow.
I think a big reason why it was so hard for her is that her family, they're Latinx, so in a lot of, like, different communities, especially, like, with people of color, like, it's more stigmatized. So having her, like, have to tell her parents at first was really hard, because at first I think they still didn't really, like, believe it or want to support her. But I know now that she gets, like, the proper support, which is really great, because just, like, knowing, like, what was happening to her in eighth grade, and knowing now that we're, like, 3 years out of high school and she's thriving is really great to know. I feel like a lot of people that are young and have to go through this don't get the proper education. And I didn't learn about mental health in health class until 10th grade, which too late for that. At that point, I had already started a movement for it the year before. So it's like,
You're like, catch up, guys.
So I actually, like, really want to try and do something with the school district I used to go to and get them to have more mental health education.
That'd be awesome.
Or at least have, like, more guest speakers. I think that it's really important to do that, because mental health, it's not, like, I mean, even mental illness are just not inherently bad things. And I feel like because of the stigma, no one just ever wants to talk about it.
Right.
I feel like we need to kind of set up, like, the building blocks for mental health with elementary schoolers and get them to learn stuff. I mean, a lot of people use the example of the movie Inside Out that really does a good job at explaining emotions. And if kids, like, have that basic understanding of emotions and things like that, I feel like if they know that and then go into middle school, they learn more, and then high school, they learn, like, the most.
Right.
Will definitely really help. And it's not even just about learning about the mental illnesses themselves. It's about learning how to support people, because just because you know something about an illness doesn't necessarily mean you know how to support someone living with that.
Yeah.
I feel like that is the biggest thing, that people don't understand how to properly support someone.
Right.
There's also just barriers to mental health care in general, that it's very inaccessible and not affordable for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And they have to just go through their mental illness without any professional help at all because they can't afford it. And I feel like that's just terrible. That's why the suicide rates are going up, because people aren't getting the help they need before it's too late for them.
So I'd love to know how you came up with the concept of the buddy system as it relates to teens and mental health and mental illness. I think when we hear the term buddy system, we probably think of, like, kindergarten or school field trips or something. But why does that concept work here?
So when I was, I think, 14, trying to do math in my head, I was born in 97. So, like, in February of 2011 was when I started going on Twitter. And I actually made my Twitter because I wanted Justin Bieber to tweet me. I made it after I saw his movie.
Oh, that's so wholesome.
Because I literally never heard of Twitter before his movie. So I made an account, didn't really use it for a while. I started to get into other singers and YouTubers and stuff. I started going on it again. So at that point in time, I wanted to go on there to find other people that liked the same things as me. It was, so I was going into eighth grade, and in seventh grade, I had lost a lot of my friends because my middle school started seventh grade, so, like, people made new friends or had really petty fights.
It's a tough time.
Yeah, it was. I feel like I've been saying this to a lot of people, but, like, middle school is probably, like, the most, like, mentally traumatizing time period.
I would agree with that.
So I went on Twitter to find people that liked the same things as me, since people in my school didn't feel the same way. I started to meet a lot of people on there and just really fell in love with the sense of community that Twitter brought. I took the whole experience I had with finding friends on the internet for the whole buddy system concept, and always thought that the whole process of finding those people you're compatible with was, like, so awkward and just very long. I wanted to cut out that step and just have people meet, be like, okay, you both like One Direction.
Yeah.
try and be friends if you want. And that's really what inspired the whole buddy system concept, was that simple idea that I went on Twitter, wanted to make friends that had the same interests, and it's hard to find those people, so why not make it easier for anyone that wants to do the same?
I love that. I love that so much.
Thank you.
And so then how can pairing people with a friend online actually do something as, you know, powerful as prevent suicide or self-harm?
I feel like it definitely can help a lot because there's more accessibility to mental health resources. I know I've definitely learned a lot of, I mean, I personally haven't self-harmed, but like a lot of my friends have done so. So I would try and find resources for them to use. I think that there's a lot out there because people can easily share it. But in person, it's like we still have more of a stigma and people aren't going to easily share out resources for like self-harm and suicide and things like that. I think that a lot of the times when it comes to resources, it's just seeing it on social media is just a lot easier because you can spread the word easier. It's like in person, you have to physically say things.
Yeah.
And that can be a lot just to like list all these different alternates. So having like an actual graphic made or just seeing a list like on an article, I think really helps out a lot of people.
Yeah.
Same with the suicide hotline and crisis text line. When people tweet out those numbers, it really helps a lot of people, especially with crisis text line. I know recently with the deaths of the two Parkland students that died by suicide, and then the father of one of the Sandy Hook shooting victims, that a lot of people were saying, like, we need more than just posting the hotlines, which I was one of those people that said that. But I feel like with the suicide hotline, a lot of people are saying that it's not always the best resource to give people because they might not necessarily want to talk to a stranger. They might want someone that they're close to talk to.
Right.
And I feel like in a sense, it's kind of pushing people away from wanting to talk to their friends or family because you're like, okay, talk to this stranger. Like, I don't want to deal with it, basically.
Right.
But I feel like there's certain situations where it's like, you know, like, if they need a professional or not. And sometimes people just want that comfort that people they're close to give them.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's really interesting. So walk us through how Buddy Project works. Does someone have to be in crisis to be paired with a buddy?
So we don't want to be a professional resource. We aren't one, clearly. And we don't want to be like a crisis service either, which is why we direct people to crisis text line a lot of the times. I want it to be more of a way for people just to find friends. They don't have to necessarily be going through any mental health struggles or problems. It's just really for anyone that wants friendship or companionship.
Yeah.
All you have to be is 13 or older to sign up, and that's pretty much it. There's no like age max or anything, but I mean, I've seen it tends to be more like 13 to like 25 or like late 20s where the signups kind of dip off a little.
Is there an age cutoff?
There's no cutoff right now. We're actually working on an app that'll be out hopefully soon. I'm not sure of like an exact date yet, but in like the very near future.
That's exciting.
There will be an app. So like it'll be easier if people are like older and don't have as many people the same age as them.
Yeah.
To find buddies. But right now the way I've been manually pairing them since 2013.
Wow.
So I've been pairing people based on their age, which the whole app will do too. But when I like manually pair them, I try to make sure there's not more than like a 4-year age difference between people. But if it gets like into the older ages and it's more than 4, like I usually am like fine with that just because it's like as you get older, it's like that much of an age difference isn't really a big deal. But like when you're 13, you just like, you don't want to be paired with like a 20-year-old.
Yeah. Okay. That's really interesting. So it's based in online friendship, but I mean, as we know, like mental health is someone that, you know, everyone has their own mental health and different struggles that they go through. So it makes sense that a side benefit of pairing these people up would be that they become close, and then when they do go through something, they feel safe reaching out to their friend, mm-hmm, their buddy.
Exactly.
Yeah, I love that. So we talked a little bit ago about the stigma surrounding mental illness, and I'd love to get a little bit deeper into that discussion. What do people mean when they say that? What are the stigmas surrounding mental illness?
The stigma is really something that's making people afraid to talk about their mental health, because it's just things we've learned as a society that some people haven't unlearned yet. One of the biggest things is just thinking mental illness isn't real, that it's like all in people's heads.
Yeah.
Which, like, yeah, it's in your head because it's a mental illness, but like the way they say it makes it seem like it's not an actual problem.
Yeah.
I feel like people don't understand the severity and the complexity of mental illnesses. And since there is this lack of education, which I talked about before, people just don't really care enough to research it and try to learn and unlearn things.
Yeah.
I think I've definitely learned more from social media and just looking stuff up online than I have from actual school, which is, I think, a really bad thing. And it really speaks like these schools need to step up and they need to add mental health education
Absolutely.
To their curriculum. It's not something that we need to skip over anymore. In school, for me at least, it's like we talked about drugs and alcohol, not like in an addiction sense, more of like you shouldn't do these things because they're bad for your body, like your physical health. It's like we barely talked about it in the sense of addiction. And I think that really says something, that we're really hammering drugs and alcohol in not a mental health sense, but like a physical health sense all the time. And it's losing its effectiveness that we need to talk about other things too, because there are so many parts of our health and there are so many things that can affect our health. I feel like all of them need to be talked about, especially mental health, because I think it is one of the most stigmatized things. It's lessening, thankfully, but I feel like a lot of people that don't have access to that information that me and like many other people do are the ones that aren't going to be, that are at a loss, that aren't going to know what to do when their friends or family go through it, or their peers. They're not going to know when, like, maybe even themselves go through it. They're not going to know what to do at all, and they're not going to know enough about mental illness to get rid of that internalized stigma about it. I think that it definitely hits, like, lower income areas harder, because school in those kinds of areas is already, like, not as great, and I doubt that they're going to add a curriculum like that if they're having to focus on other things first. So I feel like having some way that there's maybe even like a community way that mental health is taught, having like mental health first aid classes, or just having like open community like speakers or something would really help too, because it just needs to be more accessible, education in general and care as well. Because we can't just think of the people like we are. It's like I think about like my experiences growing up, and I know that there's people that aren't as well off as I was. And I think about those people and how they probably have to deal with their mental illness or the mental illness of their friends, and they don't have as many resources as I do. And I think a big part of mental health advocacy is making sure that people have resources and people have that accessibility.
Yeah.
And that's definitely something I want to be able to take on as Buddy Project grows, and as I kind of make sure like the app's out first and like improving other things, I definitely want to be able to help tackle that, like the structural things that are just set in place from society that need to be combated that no one really pays attention to.
Yeah. It's crazy to think that mental health issues are such a huge epidemic, especially for young people of like school age, and yet it's not part of the health curriculum. Mm-hmm. It's kind of baffling, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like I learned so much more about like like sexual health stuff like than I did that about mental health. Like I went so much more in depth with that.
Yeah.
It's like that even I feel is somewhat stigmatized, and not everything is taught properly either. Yeah. And it's like with mental health, all I remember doing in that class, since it was in high school, I had 3,000 people in my school from 10th to 12th grade. Wow. So it was a lot. And no one ever took health class seriously. So, like, the teachers didn't really take it seriously either. So all I remember doing is, like, I had to fill out a packet by the end of the term and hand it in for points. And then my teacher played some movie from probably, like, the late 80s.
Yeah.
And it had, like, Rob Lowe's brother, and I forget his name. But it had him in it, and he ends up, like, dying by suicide in the movie.
Oh my gosh,
and
I'm like, I think I saw that movie too in health class.
And they show, like, the warning signs, which is great, but it's like, literally, I was in 10th grade in, like, 2013 to 14. Like, this is not relatable.
Yeah.
I get, like, it has, like, the warning signs, as I said, but, like, we need something that actually speaks to teens.
Right.
I feel like a lot of adults don't understand that they can't have the curriculum based on, like, what they think is effective. They need to have the curriculum based on what they think would be effective to people of that age.
Right.
Which is a huge problem, I think, with, like, mental health education. People don't go about teaching it right.
Yeah.
And they don't go about talking about it right either. It just, I feel like adults need to understand, like, they need to go back to how they felt when they were our age,
yeah,
how they felt misunderstood, and realize, like, they need to actually talk to people the age they're trying to target and,
yeah,
say, like, how would you like to learn about this?
Right.
Or how would you, like, what do you think would be effective? Not just thinking what they think is right.
Yeah. So I'd imagine that after being a part of this for so long, you've come across tons of stories that really touch your heart, like success stories from this. Are you able to share any of them with us?
I don't know, like, any off the top of my head, but, like, I've seen so many people meet. I have a youth advisory board for Buddy Project, and I know a lot of them are really close. And I think, like, two of them actually tried to start a podcast before.
Oh, cool.
I'm not sure if that's still going on, but I know a lot of them are really into mental health and are just, like, very close to some of the people they've met through the project. There's also campus reps that are really close to each other as well. And I have people that I've personally met through Buddy Project that I'm, like, really close with. I was on a panel at South by Southwest.
Cool.
Last month, and it's in Austin, if you're not, like, familiar with that, people listening. But my friend that lives in Dallas, Texas, she has come to New York twice, and we've met up there since it's so close to Philly. But I've never been to Texas, and it's funny because she kept, like, basically speaking into existence, me coming there. She was like, come to Texas for spring break, and then I get an email having an invite to South By.
Wow.
And speaking on a panel, so I was like, oh my god, like, you need to come.
That's,
I get,
so cool.
I get it's not right next to where you live, but she ended up driving down to Austin from Dallas,
fun.
And we were able to spend, like, 2.5-ish days together. And it was really great, like, hanging out with someone that I met online.
Yeah.
It's always, like, still weird, though, when I do meet people online, because it's, like, just knowing that they're a real person.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, my friend that I met up with has been using Buddy Project for a while. She actually, I think, like, first messaged me because she was, like, asking me a question or something like that. And then my first, like, TV interview, the guy that was, like, the reporter had asked me, like, if there was anyone he could interview. So he actually interviewed her over, like, Skype or something.
Oh, wow.
And she was, like, in the, like, report about me, which was really cool.
That's awesome.
And it's, like, really nice to know, like, I have a friend that I've known for, I think it's 4 years now.
Yeah.
That I met because of my own project. And I have
That's
other
really
friends
cool.
like that, too. Like, one of my friends that messaged me because of Buddy Project. She lives in DC right now, but she's actually coming up to Philly to go to Penn for her master's.
Oh, fun.
Next school year. So I'll have her, like, super close by.
Yay.
And just some of my other friends too that live in this, like, general area, I've met because they're, like, Buddy Project campus reps. And just, like, having like, finding friendship myself through Buddy Project is something I didn't really envision.
Yeah.
But it's, like, really cool. And even, like, meeting people because of, like, speaking engagements or, like, things I'm on, like, the American Eagle Council that I just started, like, my term on. Just, like, meeting people like that even.
Yeah.
And meeting other young people that are involved in, like, advocacy or activism and, like, any type of field is,
yeah,
really cool. Having people that I can relate to.
That's so cool. You're so cool.
Thank you.
So are there any statistics available that you can share about how effective Buddy Project has been? Do you guys have like total number of buddies or something like that?
Yeah, so I know we've paired over 232,000 people.
What?
Since April 2013.
Oh my god.
I don't have any other statistics, but I'm hoping I can do research on that soon.
Yeah.
I know I'm actually, I was supposed to do research on it like 2 summers ago, but unfortunately I didn't get like approved until I was actually employed by Drexel.
Oh, wow.
And I was supposed to do like research on that, but of course it got approved like the last week of the job, so yeah. We couldn't do it, but I'm trying to do it with this one person that used to go to Drexel, but they work at a different school now, so hopefully it'll work out this time. That would be really exciting. Cool to actually have like interviews and stuff like that to help me and the other people on Buddy Project's team like learn about how the pairings work, and once the app's out, it'll definitely be interesting to hear feedback as well.
Definitely. Are you guys gonna have like a 250,000 party or something? You're getting pretty close to that.
I don't know yet. That's actually a good idea to have that, but
you gotta celebrate the milestones. That's huge. That's a huge number.
I'm sure after the app it'll hit that. Because if we got like 3,000 signups when it was just like a Google Docs form and stuff, I'm sure like when there's an app, it'll, which I'm kind of scared for, because it's like, I don't want the server that the app's on to crash.
Yeah.
Because I know it can only handle so many people. So like that'll be definitely nerve wracking, but it'll probably be a good thing in a sense. Like there's this many people that want to join.
Yeah.
So
that's so huge. So how do you think the traction has ramped up so much, or like remained, you know, so steady over the years? Do you guys do like advertising, or is it word of mouth? How does that work?
Yeah,
how
do people find it? All word of mouth.
Really?
Basically, I've only paid for like an advertisement, like on, well, it's mainly I think Facebook I did it on like once or twice, but it wasn't like something I put like so much money into.
Yeah.
It was like, I think I promoted our like one fundraising event and then like one like post about like our shirt sales, but that was it. It wasn't like ever in the beginning or anything. It just spread because people tweeted about it.
It's amazing.
I feel like the traction has like kept going, because I feel the fact that Buddy Project's run by me, 21-year-old college girl, and like in the years has been run just by like a young girl.
Yeah.
People relate to that. They know that I'm not this like adult that's like trying really hard to be relatable.
Yeah.
And I feel like because I know like the nuances of social media, like I know like what content people are gonna resonate with and what people aren't. Also just the fact that a lot of the people that join are like in some type of like fan base of some sorts, whether it's like a musician or like TV show or whatever. I feel like people have that, they want that sense of community more, kind of like how I did.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's why traction has been steady the past 6 years.
Does Buddy Project rely on fundraising and donations to keep going?
Yeah. Okay. So we started doing shirt campaigns, I think, like, I want to say, well, we've been a nonprofit. We got like the Articles of Incorporation back in like December of 2015. And I think I started doing shirts like right after that. So we've been doing shirts for like 3.5-ish years.
Nice.
But we've been doing them a lot more recently in like the past year-ish, like a little bit over a year. A year ago, I launched a shirt and it says on it, "You are loved, you are strong, you are capable, you are valid." And that's been our biggest shirt. It's sold over 2,500 shirts.
Wow.
And raised over like $20,000.
That's awesome.
Last time I checked. And some of our other shirts have done well too. Like we have a shirt for our, so the "You Are Loved" one, that one was for Mental Health Awareness Month last year. And then for Suicide Prevention Month last year, we did "You Have a Purpose on This Planet." And I drew like a little planet and it has a ring on it. And everyone's like, "Oh, that's Saturn. Like, what, isn't this Earth?" And I'm like, "No, it's just a planet."
Yeah.
Like, I'm a space person. I get the technicalities, but it's just like something that I want people, like, because if I put Earth on it, it's like, I don't know. I just feel like that it's not as cute. But even though Earth is cute, take care of the planet. But I feel like just like the aesthetic of things that I make, I definitely know my audience like would definitely like that. And I'm trying to think of the other shirts we had. Oh yeah, I made one for Giving Tuesday that says Kindness Matters.
Nice.
And then I just recently put out another shirt for this year's Mental Health Awareness Month that says Spread Empathy, and it's like that aesthetic of that like trash bag that says like thank you on it.
Oh yeah.
I feel like that's definitely been popular recently with like just pretty much everyone. And I feel like spreading like that message of spreading empathy is really important because it doesn't only relate to mental health, but it relates to pretty much like anything that anyone could ever go through in life.
Right.
And I was like talking about it with someone at, I went to the Active Minds conference about a month ago. And it's like people just need to be empathetic in general. They need to just spread it and try to understand what people are going through, especially people that aren't, that don't look like them. I feel like that's really important. I took a sociology class last term, and it was, I feel like I definitely like hit a lot of points I learned throughout being on social media the past few years and learning new things. And I feel like one of the most important things is trying to learn about people that don't live a similar life that you do, and learning like why life can be harder for certain groups of people. And I feel like trying to get people to learn like why mental health and why mental illnesses are so severe to some people is really important, and learning like why it's like that in the first place. And I mean, it all goes back to education and accessibility. So I feel like that one simple phrase on the shirt can like do so much power if people talk about it. And
yeah,
I want the shirts to be conversation builders.
Nice.
And just have it like spark those things people don't want to talk about.
Yeah.
One of the shirts we had in the past was Stronger Than the Stigma. And I know it sparked a lot of conversation when people wore it. Like, people would be like, oh, like, what's that from? Like, what does that mean? So I feel like making a statement with fashion is really important, because it can just really break the stigma and break the barriers of people being too afraid to talk about it.
That's really cool. And so on the fundraising note too, a couple of years ago, we collaborated with you on a GoFundMe campaign for World Mental Health Day, which was super cool. Do you usually plan special events or moments for the organization around these kind of national days of conversation?
Yeah, so every year for Mental Health Awareness Month and Suicide Prevention Month, I make a shirt now that's like my thing. And then sometimes if I like have a shirt I want to make for other days, like how I said Giving Tuesday, I do that. But since like World Suicide Prevention Day falls in the same month as Suicide Prevention Month, it's like more lumped together. And there's also like Suicide Prevention Week, so it's like that entire month is just a very like big time to have a shirt that sparks conversation about suicide and preventing it. With the World Mental Health Day, that one I've been trying to do more with, especially since it is literally right after Suicide Prevention Day.
Or
Suicide Prevention Month and week and day. So it's like, that's a little bit harder because it's like people just celebrated that, and then we have another day to like celebrate mental health and talk about it. I feel like other days I definitely want to like take advantage of, and like other months where like mental health can like intersect with like whatever the cause is. Like I know this month is Sexual Assault Awareness Month.
Yeah.
So trying to like talk about that and talk about how like a lot of people that are survivors of sexual assault like have to go through mental health problems now because of that. Either it's like PTSD or just like anxiety or just anything mental health related they go through. And I think that knowing mental health doesn't affect one type of certain person is a very important message to spread, and that there's all these different types of people that go through it, and making sure that we have those conversations and have those communities of people feel like their mental health is important and that they deserve the proper support for it.
That's beautiful. So in addition to pairing people up and employing the buddy system, Buddy Project also supports mental health and recovery centers across the U.S. Can you share more about that with us? How do you identify the organizations that you want to work with?
Yeah, so we started giving back to mental health and recovery centers. Like, I forget when our first like official contribution was, but it was like a couple months after we became a nonprofit, since we kind of wanted to like make sure we were like structured enough. Like,
yeah.
But we picked our first center based on this one award I received in 2015. I think we actually got the Articles of Incorporation either the day before or like the day of me getting this award. It's the John Fitzgerald Kennedy Memorial Award.
Wow.
And this one center called the Northeast Behavioral Center for Mental Health, they give it out every year to someone making a difference in like the Philly area with mental health.
Oh,
and
wow.
Currently I'm the youngest recipient of the award.
Oh man.
So it was really cool to win that.
An honor.
We had actually toured the complex before I won the award, like a couple months before. And a lot of the people that they see are coming because they're on like Medicare or Medicaid. We wanted to help out definitely like children and stuff, so we made a contribution to their children and youth outpatient program, and I believe they bought art supplies for that, which I think is really great, especially because recently I've like learned how powerful art can be as a coping mechanism.
Yeah.
We also have given contributions to a center that's like right where I live called Hedwig House, and they help anyone 18 and over that go through mental health problems or mental health conditions, just help them get through life and teach them like life skills and stuff like that. And they go on like trips and whatnot. So
awesome.
Finding like places actually locally, like either through meeting people like how I did with
yeah.
like the award. It's like I would have never known that center existed if
right.
I wouldn't have been honored with that. And then with the Hedwig House, it was really just the way that I met like one of the people that worked there. We had a like dine and donate fundraiser at a local like American restaurant, like pub place. And we had a table set up to talk to people about it. We weren't allowed to like solicit people, so
yeah.
they were like, you can have a table. And one of the people that came up was someone that worked at this center, and if we didn't have that dine and donate that day, like we wouldn't even have that relationship. That
yeah.
wouldn't exist at all, which really makes me think like how important like specific moments are in life. It's like you don't
yeah.
realize the ripple effect they have.
Right.
And that's definitely been the case with a lot of people I've met because of Buddy Project or like because of my work with Buddy Project.
Nice.
So it's just really cool to think about that, like how it's like we take a lot of these things for granted, but it could lead to such bigger things.
Yeah. I love that. Okay, I know it's a little bit hard to gush about yourself, so I will do it for you. You have won an amazing amount of awards and honors for your work on Buddy Project. I'll just read a few of them here. You got the Shorty Award for Teen Activism, the John Fitzgerald Kennedy Memorial Award, as you were just talking about, Pennsylvania Hometown Hero for Glamour. Your work has also been featured on Huffington Post, the Oprah Magazine, USA Today, and of course, like all the local papers. What is it like for you to be such a young person and have like done so much and received all this recognition?
I don't really, it's like such a weird feeling because it's like, I kind of like talk about this to my friends sometimes. Like my one friend will sometimes be like, Gabby, like you're a big deal. And I'm like, no, I'm not. And like, I feel like sometimes there's been like times on social media where people will be like, oh, I can't, like I'm doing like this. And like Gabby's accomplishing this. Like one time, I think it was like actually one of Buddy Project's campus reps was like, I just like woke up and like ate a bag of chips in bed, like I wonder what Gabby's doing, or I don't, something like that. And I'm like, I do that too.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a college student. I am the worst sometimes. Like I won't get out of bed and like just stay in bed all day. But it's definitely, it can be hard sometimes, especially with school. Like last term I got really lucky with how some of my trips laid out. I had to go to South by Southwest, and then actually a couple weeks before that I had went to Pittsburgh for American Eagle, and that was like when I couldn't tell people like, oh
yeah.
I'm working on something with American Eagle, so I'd just be like, I'm going to Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
like can't really tell you
it's
why
fun.
But I had to skip class because of that, and I mean luckily a lot of my professors were understanding.
Nice.
I was literally in a public speaking class last term, so like literally not being in class to public speak,
right, it's like a good excuse.
Yeah. So I basically, if I know I'm having a ton of trips come up, I make sure like I don't skip class at all. Like
yeah.
even if I feel like sick or just don't want to go, I'm like, I need to go because
yeah.
I'm going to end up missing for trips, and I really want to take advantage of the trips when I can. I was just on a panel there was a summit that was held at Drexel called Be Fearless Summit, and I was on the panel talking about mental health and just how it affects, like, especially young people. And I think one of the questions that we had on the panel was, like, asking how we juggle mental health with schoolwork. There was another student on the panel with me, and I basically said, like, sometimes I know, like, missing class is probably not great, but, like, are these opportunities ever going to come up again? No. And get the difference between getting, like, a B plus and a B, or, like, even, like, a B and a B minus, like, that difference is worth, like, the experience that I get to have and the connections that I get to make and the networking and everything. So I kind of try to do, I mean, I'll use business terms, like, basically the opportunity cost of of going. And it's, like, a lot of these classes, like, the business ones at least, have, like, taught me a lot about things, like, I didn't think about in that way, like, how I just use, like, economic terms. It's, like, I don't really, I feel like a lot of people don't understand, like, how to time manage right, especially young people trying to make a difference. It's, like, really hard to understand and, like, learn how to do that. People don't get, like, I have that on top of schoolwork and just being a college-age kid.
You are a buddy project. Like, you alone pair 232,000 people since 2013, and you do everything. So that's pretty remarkable.
Thank you.
It's very cool. So I'd love to know what's kind of on the horizon for Buddy Project. I know you talked about the app. Is that, like, the next big thing?
Yeah, definitely. I definitely want to be able to improve campus reps and, like, our youth advisory board too. It's, like, kind of hard right now because it's, like, since we're focusing on the app, there's, like, not much. It's, like, that's our main focus. So it's, like, I'm not focusing on other projects or anything either. But I definitely like having the youth advisory board, especially, like, if I'm very indecisive about something, like, whenever I, like, make the shirts, I have them help me with that. And just, like, other decisions where it's, like, I need, like, people that I know are in, like, Buddy Project's audience to, like, give me the right feedback that I need.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's, like, I really love how my mom is involved with Buddy Project, but it's, like, she's also not in the same generation. She's, like, I think 2-generation difference. And, just, like, the fact that what she likes isn't necessarily what my audience is going to like. Right. And I like having her feedback, but it's, like, sometimes I just need that, like, Gen Z millennial feedback.
You're, and, like,
I
think, Mom, no.
I think having groups of people to help me with that is really helpful, because campus reps help out sometimes, like, more with the campus rep stuff, but, like, they also give feedback. And just, like, knowing I have these people that I can, like, just send a message in a group chat and, like, they'll give me the feedback I want to hear just is really great. And having, like, a board and stuff is really cool too. Especially, like, right now it's my mom, my aunt, my cousin, or 2 of my cousins, and I want to add more people that have more experiences that can help too. Like, my aunt, like, worked for the Girl Scouts, and then one of my cousins is a social worker. And the other is an attorney. So it's, like, we have a lot of people with, like, strengths. And my mom's an accountant, so, like, she helps with, like, all the money stuff.
It's a great board.
So it's, like, definitely really good to have people that can help in all different aspects of the nonprofit. Like, with our in-person fundraising events, we just started doing those, like, about a year ago. Our first one was in May of last year, and we did, like, a bowling event. So that was definitely, like, a good, like, test to like see how that stuff kind of works. Then we had a designer bag bingo in September, which was after I left for Australia to study abroad, so I couldn't attend that, but
Man, your life is just so cool.
From what I heard, it was a good, like, first time we've, like, ever done it. And just, like, I've been going to a lot of fundraisers in my area recently just to, like, see, like, how they work and, like,
that's a good idea.
Everything. I feel like a lot of people don't even, like, try to really do that. And especially, like, since we do a lot more online fundraising, like, with the shirts and, like, doing, like, the crowdfunding campaigns, it's, like, such a different realm, like, going from online fundraising to in-person. It's, like, I feel like in-person's so much harder, but then it's, like, you also are, like, locked down in one specific, like, geographic area. But, like, online, it's, like, you can get anyone from the world. Which definitely has helped us a lot since there's more. I'm not sure exactly how Philly like ranks on like the cities where most people follow Buddy Project, but like I know that it's just way more spread out than right. it is like concentrated in one specific city or right. like state or something.
Because people are being paired up all over the place. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I love the campus rep element to this. If anyone's listening and they want to get involved or they know someone who might be interested in getting involved, how can they do that?
There is a tab on our site that I think is titled Get Involved, and it has, like, all the different opportunities. Right now, we're not taking campus rep applications. We okay. will, like, in a couple months, probably, like, in the summer for, like, the campus reps for 2019 to the 2020 year. And our youth advisory board is going to run, like, throughout just, like, 1 year, so, like, January 2019 to, like, December 2019. So we'll probably take applications for that again, like closer to the end of the year, okay. like maybe October, November, I'm assuming. But other than that, you can get paired with a buddy. You can help us by donating or buying a t-shirt from our store. And you can just interact with us on social media and share a post, retweet them, whatever platforms you're on. That's really what helps us the most is when people share a post, because it's free yeah. and it helps redirect other people to the platform that we have.
Awesome. So Gabby, why is this work so important to you? I mean, you just kind of went over how much of your life this actually takes up and how much you really have to balance everything to fit it in. What keeps you coming back day after day, whether it be to your many duties as CEO or to social media to keep adding your voice to the discussion surrounding mental health and mental illness? What keeps this so close to your heart?
I feel like the fact that I, through the process of like running Buddy Project, realized like I have my own mental health struggles has been something that's like made me want to post more. I actually started like an illustration account recently to put like all of my work that I make either like for Buddy Project or like just because I want to make it, post it on there. And with that, I've like wanted to talk about like the things I go through that I don't like see a lot of people post about. Recently, I had like a couple days where I just like wanted to lay in bed and like do nothing, and I had like zero motivation yeah. whatsoever. And I talked about that through one of my posts. I haven't been too professional yet, and I like really want to go. It's just with me like being busy, that's like a reason why I haven't gone, and it's like I want to be able to go, because I feel like anyone can benefit from therapy, like not just people Definitely. With mental illness. And it's like I would like to see if I have anything like diagnosable, especially because looking back, like I've definitely had a lot of times where I've had anxiety or I've had like social anxiety, and I want to be able to like talk about that more and like know either I have a diagnosis or I don't, so that I can like use the right terminology. And it's like right now I talk about anxiety, like I know I definitely like have gone through it, maybe not the disorder, like that's not confirmed, but a lot of the times when I'm anxious, like I get very irritable and I get very like snappy at people. And I also talked about that one of my posts recently too, that like anxiety can manifest as irritability. I feel like a lot of people don't realize that about people with yeah. anxiety. And they kind of just assume, like, you're not being a nice person. But it's, like, sometimes when I get anxious, I get so, like, worked up. And it just makes me, like, in a bad mood. And then that's what causes it. Just making sure that, like, there's an open and genuine conversation is really important to me. And I feel like making sure that I can relate my own experiences to the people that are part of Buddy Project's audience is important. Because, like I've said before, like, I want it to be relatable. I don't want it to be like, oh, it seems like there's adults running this that just are trying way too hard to relate. It's like, yeah. I want to make it genuine. I want to make it so that other people are like, oh, I've gone through that too. Like, I understand, and this like post helped me. And I want to be able to post like other people's stories too, because it's like I can only talk about so much with my own experiences in mental health. And just making sure that like a lot of voices are represented is really important, especially for people in marginalized communities and people that just have like mental illnesses that aren't as common. It's just important to like have yourself represented in some way.
Yeah.
And I want to be able to do that through Buddy Project. That's definitely another thing that I want to work on once the app is over, is like having a better platform to share stories. I know a lot of mental health organizations do that, so it's not like the most like uncommon thing, but I feel like it's important to do that, especially since I have so many people part of the platform.
Yeah, stories are always powerful. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So mental health is something that so many people struggle with, and can be so hard to ask for help sometimes. I love how easy you've made it with Buddy Project for people to facilitate safe spaces where they can feel like they can open up about this. If anyone listening is experiencing a tough time or has a loved one who is, what would you say to them?
I would definitely say that if they're like having a tough time, to find like the right words, that like crisis text line is definitely one of the best services that a lot of people like have been referred to, because you don't have to necessarily be the person going through crisis. You don't even have to be in a crisis to text them. It's just having someone that's like a trained crisis counselor be able to help give you like the advice you need, whether it's for yourself or for a family member. And just like finding online resources definitely is like the best thing to do. And just giving them unconditional support and being there and just telling them kind things and all of that is really important. I know that when I go through bad times, like with my anxiety and stuff, like I just want to be like comforted, and I just want to like know that like it's going to be okay and that there's people here to help me get through whatever I'm going through. And that's what I like to tell other people, is that like I'm here for them, that they're not alone. I'm always going to be there to talk to them, whether they're like 5,000 miles away or they're like literally right next to me. I feel like just showing someone that you're there for them is one of the most important things to say, because with mental illness, so many people tend to feel alone because of it, and knowing that they have that factor like completely like not, it's not important because someone's there for them, I think makes a huge difference.
Thank you so much to Gabby Frost for squeezing me into her busy schedule. It was such an honor to finally meet her and hear more about how Buddy Project came to be. If you'd like to support Gabby's mission and her future efforts, or be paired with a buddy, please visit buddy-project.org. Thank you so much for listening to True Stories of Good People, a podcast brought to you by GoFundMe. If you were inspired by today's story, please help us out by heading over to iTunes and leaving us a rating, a review, and subscribe to the show. And if anyone you know loves inspiring stories, please share our podcast with them. It means the world to us. Also, we love to hear from listeners, so if you have any feedback, suggestions, or questions, you can write to us at podcast@gofundme.com. And lastly, for more behind-the-scenes content, you can follow us on Instagram at True Stories of Good People and on Twitter at TSGPPod. Quick thank you to Science Studios in Philadelphia, where this episode was recorded, and to our editing team at Cloud Studios in Seattle, Washington. We'll be back next time with more True Stories of Good People. Talk to you then!